It looks like fun and seems harmless. Jack-o'-lanterns, goblins, black cats, costumes, and children going door to door hoping for treats from their neighbors. But have you wondered why these practices are so popular? What images come to your mind when you think of Halloween? A satanic struggle against mankind? Or just a night of good, clean fun? Now, some Christians are uneasy with the emphasis on witchcraft and demons. So stay tuned to Beyond Today as we examine Halloween and go behind the mask.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Just say the word Halloween, and it conjures up all kinds of images. A time to dress up kids as monsters and witches and encourage them to trick or treat. It's time for adults to party. It's not only called the scariest night of the year, but also the sweetest because of all the candy. Now, there's interesting contrast. Some churches throw Halloween parties, but occasionally there may be a letter to the editor to speak out against it, even though most clergy haven't. Now, is it hype? Or is there something wrong with recognizing or even celebrating Halloween? After all, didn't it begin as a religious holiday? Let's look behind the mask. Now, not everyone realizes where Halloween came from and why it's so widely celebrated. Did you know that centuries before Jesus Christ, the Celtic peoples, now they're in Western Europe, they celebrated November 1st as the Celtic New Year. It was a sacred day in honor of the sun god. They also observed the previous eve as the festival of Samhain, the Lord of the Dead. Now, you may not be a history buff, but let me explain. Here's why it was a special sacred day to the ancient Celts. They believed that on the eve of Samhain, now that word looks like Samhain, but it's Samhain, the barriers they believed between the human world and the supernatural world were broken. Ghosts and demons were able to roam the earth and even harm their crops. The souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on that night. So Celtic priests, they believed that on the eve of Samhain, predictions would have more power and more clarity. Why? Because spirits were believed to hold the secrets of the afterlife, and they were able to see the future. Now imagine, how would an uneducated person react to that kind of belief? If you didn't know any better, what would you do? Well, sacrifices of animals, crops, and possibly even human beings were given to pacify the spirits. You see, it was the time to placate the supernatural evil powers. They also believed that sinners' souls were trapped in the bodies of animals. Now, perhaps somehow honoring Samhain would persuade him to free these trapped souls from their animal prisons. Now, does that sound like anything that we should support? Should that be something you participate in? In fact, what do any of these ancient pagan rites have to do with you? Well, here's where the story gets very interesting. If you were to do a simple internet search, you'd find that most of the activities of the Celtic feast have survived in modern form to this very day. Let's look at just a couple of those things. We've all heard of carving jack-o'-lanterns. Now, here's a little bit of trivia about jack-o'-lanterns. Do you know what percentage of pumpkins that are marketed domestically are used as jack-o'-lanterns? 99%. 99% of pumpkins are used as jack-o'-lanterns at Halloween. In fact, the jack-o'-lantern, it comes from an Irish legend, a Celtic legend. The story tells of a man, his name, you guessed it, was Jack, and he was stuck between heaven and hell because he bargained with the devil. He was given a single ember to light his way through the cold, dark winter. So guess what? He placed that little light into a hollowed out, not a pumpkin, a turnip to keep it lit longer. Now, when the Irish immigrants came to America, they traded in their turnips for a bigger pumpkin. After all, you know, a candle inside might just keep you safe from all the spooky spirits that are flying around on Halloween. So that's one of the things. Now, if we look at trick-or-treating, that tradition also came from the idea that evil spirits played tricks and they would bother the living. So the living began to disguise themselves as goblins or ghosts in order to escape their evil tricks. Now, you can imagine what would happen. Pretty soon, the masquerading humans, became the ones who were playing the tricks instead. Now, they would intimidate people with tricks if they didn't give them some kind of food or some kind of treat. And so eventually that whole thing morphed into today, where our kids dress up and they chant trick or treat in order to fill up their bags with candy, going right back to that ancient festival. And of course, that's not where it stops. Bobbing for apples, that was an ancient means of fortune telling. How about the visiting haunted houses? That goes right back to those spirits, you know, haunting those homes on Samhain. Or building bonfires. Now, that was a big one as well. That goes back to the idea they wanted to ward off evil spirits so they'd start these huge fires. In fact, even in America today, that happens in Detroit. Every year, they seem to set all kinds of fires. And of course, witches, it's another mainstream image of Halloween. How about that? Where did that come from? Well, folklore tells tales of witches gathering together every year on Halloween. So these superstitions claim that the witches would cast spells on unsuspecting people. And of course, it's not just a Celtic thing. It's not a European thing or just an American thing. In Mexico, people build temporary home altars and they adorn them with religious icons and special breads and other kinds of food for the dead. They call it the Day of the Dead, and it's at Halloween time. And it incorporates all these different similar Samhain rituals. Now, here's a good one. Maybe you've not heard of this one before. The Welsh. They believe that when you sneezed, you blew the soul right out of your body. And believe it or not, that's where this idea and this phrase, God bless you, have you heard of that? That's where that started. Now, imagine this. If you were to sneeze on Halloween, that was especially dangerous because then the devil and all those evil souls that were around, they could capture your soul. So when you look at it, almost every Halloween tradition can be traced back to this ancient, false, unchristian pagan religion. Well, except for one thing. Commercialism. Do you know how much Americans spend on Halloween? You're going to believe this. Over $7 billion a year. It's the second largest commercial holiday. In fact, today, 86% of Americans decorate their homes for Halloween. Now, it is amazing. It doesn't seem that Halloween has much to do with religion, but is that really the case? Did you know that modern Christianity did get involved with the ancient Samhain festival? Now, when the Romans conquered the Celtics, they brought with them these new traditions. They mingled the customs. It was syncretism, a mixture, a blending, an assimilation, where all these different ideas came together and they were all muddled and mixed together. Now, there is a catch. Early Christians, the ones who strictly followed their Bible, they followed strictly the teachings of Jesus, they wouldn't have anything to do with those pagan customs. They identified them as demonic worship. In fact, if you get out your Bible, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament came out and showed it what it was. These false rituals, he said they're unacceptable. In fact, if you open your Bible to the book of Corinthians, notice this. It says the sacrifices of the pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. So, here's a question. Do the traditions of Halloween seem to be associated with light or darkness? Associated with God or Satan? Wicked or good? You know, when you look around, this world is filled with darkness. Have you wondered why there's so much religious confusion? Why is the world so plagued with problems? Why is it such a mess? Is it only the result of, well, things that are uncontrollable, time and chance, or perhaps simply just the way things have always been and the way they'll always be? If you think about it, whether it's broken families, broken relationships, or even broken societies, they don't just happen. You can find a cause. It's possible to find the cause for the evil that we see in the world today. In fact, you can know the cause for this world's problems. The underlying reason for so many of the difficulties even you face yourself in your own life. In fact, we have a free booklet that can help you. This particular booklet is called, Is There Really a Devil? It will help you see that specific underlying cause, and even more importantly, what you can do about it. In fact, you can go online right now to beyondtoday.tv. You can download it. You can read it immediately, or you can order your own free copy. We're not going to charge you anything. It's absolutely free. It's called Is There Really a Devil? Now, there's no doubt that confusion permeates the religious world out there. In fact, many pre-Christian religions with their pagan rites, all this New Age practice you hear about, superstitions, all of that seems to be making a comeback. Have you wondered why? What's the truth? Is every belief just as good as any other? People like you are searching for meaning, and it's not found in the conventional rituals and beliefs that are all muddled out there, but it's found in your Bible. So get the truth. Request your free copy today. You can click, you can call, toll-free if you'd like instead. Toll-free, 1-888-888-8632. That's 888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. This book will help you understand. In fact, if you want answers, you can start by receiving the critical information we'd like to help you with. So order your free booklet today. Now, how did Christianity get mixed up and blended together with witches and goblins and all this spiritual darkness that's out there? Well, in order to help Christianity spread through the Roman Empire, many church leaders began to accept pagan customs as a means to gain new converts. Now imagine this. About 1400 years ago, Pope Boniface IV created All Saints' Day. Now do you know how he did it? He dedicated a heathen Roman temple, a pagan temple, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he declared a new holiday to honor martyred Christians. Now, this is where the blending, the mixing all came in. The prayers that used to go to the gods and the goddesses and the demons and the goblins, now they'd be replaced with prayers to dead Christian saints. Now, can you imagine what the result was? The counterfeit pagan customs of worshiping the dead, they didn't stop. They simply put on a new pretty dress to make it look Christian. Now, about a century later, Pope Gregory III, he set the date of All Saints' Day to November 1st. Now, you might ask, well, why would he do that? Well, many scholars will tell you it was no accident. The Roman Church was still trying to absorb these pagan celebrations. Now, here's something. Listen to this. This is very important. In the book, Halloween, An American Holiday in American History, the author says something very interesting. He says this, villagers were also encouraged to masquerade on this day, not to frighten unwelcome spirits, but to honor Christian saints. Churches throughout Europe and the British Isles had processions in which parishioners dressed up as saints, angels, and devils. This religious masquerade resembled the pagan custom of parading ghosts. It served the new church by giving an acceptable Christian basis to the custom of dressing up on Halloween. Isn't that interesting? Now, where in the Bible would you find that? You see, it's interesting. If you follow history, eventually a second celebration was established, and it was called All Hallows Day, or All Souls Day, on November 2nd. And in time, after a while, these two combined together into the present observance on November 1st. So the name All Hallows Even, or All Hallows Evening, for the night of October 31st, it eventually evolved into the name Halloween, or Halloween. So, it's amazing when you follow history. But the real question is, so what? Does any of it matter? What should you do when it comes to Halloween? You see, the argument is this. Mixing up ancient pagan customs and the practices with the worship of God, that's a good thing because some churches believe it's an effective way to gradually win people over to Christ. So, what happens? Some carve the name of Jesus on pumpkins, or they add religious phrases in the hopes of converting those who would go trick-or-treating. In fact, some church basements are converted into carnivals featuring games and contests and candy. Now, the real question is, what does God say about that? Now, the Bible doesn't contain an explicit statement saying, "Thou shalt not celebrate Halloween," but are there any passages that say it's wrong to adapt pagan customs or to borrow the ways of those who worship a false god and then convert them to worship the true God? Now, you're probably familiar with the story of the Israelites. After they escaped from Egypt, they crossed the parted sea. God was going to drive out other nations as the Israelites entered the promised land. He told them how to handle the challenges before them. Do you know what God told them? Here's what he said. It's over in the book of Deuteronomy. It said something interesting. He told them, they will be destroyed for you. That would be the nations. But be careful not to be trapped by asking about their gods. Don't say, how do these nations worship? I'll do the same. Don't worship the Lord your God that way. Be sure to do everything I've commanded you. Do not add anything to it, and do not take anything from it. You see, God himself makes it very clear. He doesn't accept worship that's compromised. He doesn't accept worship that's polluted by customs used in phony religion. He wants to be worshipped according to his commands, the way that he wants to be worshipped, not by what humans or even some churches say is acceptable. In fact, you might say, oh, well, that's Old Testament. What does that matter today? Well, the same concept is also found in the New Testament. We can look at what the Apostle Paul taught. Notice what he said. It's very specific and very clear. Here's what Paul said, the Apostle. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? You know, when you read these passages, you have to ask yourself, do you really believe that when kids dress up as demons and ghosts and monsters and then they go trick-or-treating, that somehow God appreciates that? Can Halloween customs somehow be adapted and changed and altered to honor and worship the true God? Here's the plain truth. Halloween is a holiday that honors the God of this world, who is Satan the devil. Now, don't dismiss the demonic symbolism of Halloween as just harmless fun. It is not. Your Bible reveals that evil spirits do exist, and Satan the devil is the one that leads them. Revelation 12:9, it speaks of the great dragon, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He's a trickster. He wants to deceive even you. And so they're constantly trying to keep mankind blinded. They're promoting the fear of death and, of course, that dark side of evil. Now, don't you be left in the dark. Behind the mask of Halloween, you're only going to find deceit. Don't be taken in by it. Choose a better way. Learn the truth of God's Word. Now, there's so much more to discuss on this topic. Is it possible that what you thought was the truth is not what your Bible actually teaches? And does it really matter? Stay with us, because up next we're going to be talking to the Beyond Today panel. So be right there. We'll be right back.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
We've been discussing Halloween and taking a look behind the mask. We've seen how Halloween traditions are connected with the occult. Now you may ask, so what? What difference does it really make? To discuss this, I have fellow hosts of the program, Darris McNeely and Gary Petty. Now, guys, I think if we get right down to the basics, right down to the foundation, people have to ask themselves, is evil real? Now, lots of different answers are out there. What do we say about that? Is evil real?
Steve, evil is a very real part of life. They say that the devil's biggest deception is to convince people that he doesn't exist. But the Apostle Paul made a profound statement in the Scriptures where he said that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you understand that principle from the Scripture, then you begin to understand what makes this world work, and you begin to understand why this particular question of Halloween and these celebrations are a very, very important thing for us to understand as they operate in this world today.
You know, beyond just the theological or philosophical discussion, I think if you ask the average person on the street, they would say that human nature is basically good. Now, there may be a few evil people like Adolf Hitler, something someone like that. But people are basically good who may do a few bad things. But when we look at the scripture, that's not what it says. Human nature is a mixture of good and evil. And evil is much more pervasive when we look at the scripture, how God looks at it. Much more pervasive than most people think.
And there's a reason for that, in a sense, that there's an underlying pull and draw and influence.
A spiritual power.
It is a spiritual power. And I suppose it takes us to the next question. Probably most of our viewers are asking themselves, you know, when you think about this topic, that, all right, why the hard line? I mean, why does God even care whether or not you dress up like ghosts or goblins? What's the big deal about it? Why would God care?
Because to worship spiritual beings of that nature, evil nature, go contrary to God's purpose and plan for mankind. And from the Bible all the way through, from beginning to end, there are ample instruction to show us the reality of the spirit world, the evil spirit world, and that we are not to dabble with it. One of the kings of Israel, Saul, was removed from his position because he dared to consult with a witch. That is, to a modern mind, you know, just unbelievable to wrap their mind around that would be a problem. But God holds it very, very serious.
Well, and I think you said, does God care? You know, the question is, most people would say, well, that's not even the question. God doesn't care. We decide. Right. And besides, as you said, we're being way too picky about this issue. But when we look at here in the Bible, I want to go to Leviticus 19 and verse 31. Here God says, gives instructions to those people, still applies today. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them or be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. God chooses how he wants to be worshipped. And he explains what is evil. Evil is behavior, thoughts, and actions that actually destroy us as human beings. So God says if you really believe in him and want to worship him, you avoid these things. So why would we dress up as those things?
You know, Steve, you asked, does God really care? Well, God, throughout the Bible, and Gary just read one place where he shows that he does care. I think what people who are sincere people, who are God-fearers and believe in God, and yet are wrapped up in celebrations like Halloween, should ask themselves is, do they really care? Do you really care what God thinks? You say that you do. You may think that you do, but we're human. And we have to admit that we can be deceived, and our actions betray our words sometimes, especially with what we do in regard to how we celebrate social customs as well as religious customs. Do we really care what God thinks? That's
the question. Do you know what a daunting question that is for someone to actually look at themselves and look at God and say, what is it you want? Because I care what you want is God, not what I want. That's a daunting question. But we all have to do that if we want to have a right relationship with God.
Yeah, in fact, that brings up a concept that many people believe is a good one, and that's the fact that you can take Halloween and understand it's from all these wrong roots, crazy festivals, wacky traditions, spiritism, and all of those kinds of things. But that I could take that Halloween tradition and I could somehow Christianize it. You know, that I could, you know, do it in the church basement and put a good twist on it, not make it evil, but celebrate some of these kinds of things. Now, what about that? Can you take something like this and Christianize it?
No, you can't. No human being can take something that God has not sanctioned and made holy and righteous and part of his purpose and rebaptize it, Christianize it, make it some form of a good thing, because that is something only God can do. Only God can make something right, righteous, or holy. And when we try to do it, when any human reasoning tries to do it, we really then get into the realm of idolatry. And again, we don't think about that in our modern minds, that we could be idol worshipers. But when we begin to take the prerogative of God into our own life and make those decisions, we are entering into the realm of idolatry, and that is very, very dangerous territory.
Well, and I think that is the challenge, that so many times we want to do that sort of thing, but God says, you know, don't do those things. In fact, God is powerful enough to be worshipped the way that he wants to. Now, a lot of people think that you can worship him any old way you want, but I think the Bible is very clear when it comes to that. God's strong enough and powerful enough and almighty enough to tell us how he wants to be worshipped. And so we need to find out how does he want to be worshipped and then do that. So I think that brings up then the next question that comes to people's minds, and that's the fact, okay, I see it, I understand that's not a good thing, that it's not right to do these things, so what should I do? What should I do about that? How should I change? What motions, what actions should I take in order to do something different?
Well, you know, Jesus said in Mark, It's recorded there where Jesus said that the people of the day took traditions, human traditions, and then promoted them as the teachings of God. And we have to ask ourselves, and you have to ask yourself, is that what you're doing? Is your church simply taking human traditions, like Halloween, dressing them up and saying, this is our worship of God? And if you're honest about wanting to please God, you really have to go to God and say, should I do this? And search the scripture and say, should I do this? And if not, then you need to stop doing it.
You know, I had a Protestant minister from Eastern Europe tell me a few years ago that he looked around at American churches and American religion bringing Halloween into their walls, and he pitied them. He couldn't comprehend that. He had a different worldview and coming from a different part of the world, but he couldn't understand that. And I think people need to ask, what does that have to do with God, with religion, and particularly the religion that they believe in, how they want to worship God?
Well, if Jesus cast out demons, why would you want your children to dress up like demons? Well, how's that make sense?
Why bring that into your life?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
why
right.
would you want to be a part of that? In fact, in the Bible, it says pretty clearly, all the way at the end, if you go to the book of Revelation, it says, come out of her, my people. We're not supposed to have any fellowship with the darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, we're supposed to expose them. You know, it does make a difference. It makes a difference to God. It should make a difference to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. And can you scientifically prove the best way to rear your children for success? Answers to these biggest issues in our lives are revealed in every issue of your free subscription to the Good News magazine. Successfully solving practical challenges in our daily lives and showing solutions to the biggest problems facing the world are covered in every copy. Always helpful, always clear thinking. Get your free subscription now.
Take the challenge. Do an internet search of Halloween or look into the history books and you'll begin to see behind the mask. Halloween is not a godly holiday. It's dedicated to the spirits who oppose God. It's rooted in wrong religion and it promotes evil. It minimizes wickedness and it's plain old unchristian. Remember, just because you've always believed it was harmless doesn't make it so. Jesus said that the Word of God is truth. If you want to find the truth, it's found by turning the pages of your Bible and getting to know the true God. In fact, His words are crystal clear. He tells us, what partnership can righteousness have with wickedness? Can light associate with darkness? Can Christ agree with the devil? And the answer to the question is no. So honor God the way He wants to be honored, and don't be taken in by the traditions of man-made holidays. Be sure and join us next time here on Beyond Today. We appreciate that you're watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.